This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 152 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, we are finally wrapping up our 1980s month. This is our last 80s movie, as voted on by you guys. This is a movie from 1987, same year as me, The Untouchables, directed by Brian De Palma, with a cast full of actors that we're going to talk about when we actually start reviewing the movie. Alex, when or how long has it been since you've seen The Untouchables?
It's been a while. I do remember watching the movie, and I remember when the guys at the Patreon was like, oh, you know, the 4K is coming out. I was like, okay, I guess we're going to be doing this movie before the 4K comes out. Because yeah, I was looking forward to the 4K. Yeah. So I still am.
Yeah, but now I can't watch it for 3 more years.
Yeah, so pretty much. You have that,
that stupid rule. I don't know how people watch the movie so close together. I just can't do it. I got to give it a break.
No, but other than that, it's been a while.
Yeah, you know what? My first experience with The Untouchables was actually the Super Nintendo game. I played that game before I didn't even know that this was a movie. I thought The Untouchables was just a video game when I was a kid. Obviously, this came out the same year I was born. It's rated R. I would not have seen it until, you know, later in life anyway. So I did see it as an adult, got more into like Brian De Palma films and going through his, you know, kind of catalog. So it's been a while since I've seen it, though. It's not one that I've seen. I've seen it maybe twice. So it's maybe like my third time watching it. So we'll see. But anyway, that being said, let's get to some Rotten Tomato scores and let's get right into the review. This one, unlike our last movie, Jason Bourne, this one has some pretty good reviews. The critic score is 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not really surprising. And the audience score is 89%, even a bit higher. So almost a 90% from audiences. When watching it and knowing the cast and the talent, you could kind of see this being the critic scores. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I can see, I mean, with the talent that's around, the director, time period, the point of history that this film is taking place from, if I can see why is that.
Yeah. Bad. It's not surprising that it has good reviews, but it really doesn't matter what kind of reviews it has, because at this point, me and Alex are going to give you our take on this movie. We're going to start off with Alex, of course, lead character. In this case, it is a group, but it is Elliot Ness, played by one Kevin Costner. He is the main character. Please go ahead. Take it away.
All right. So we got Kevin Costner leads this cast. Now, this cast is awesome. Let's talk about this first. And I don't want to hold this up, but the cast is great. Yeah. Sean Connery. Yeah. Andy Garcia, a very young Andy Garcia. Yeah. Kevin Costner, which is in his prime, I think, at this time. Right. 87. So not
pretty
prime.
Much hitting his stride. Yeah.
He's getting the good films in. And I forgot the other name of the guy with the glasses.
Robert De Niro is in this.
Robert De Niro as Al Capone. Yeah. So you got a lot of great Oscar award winners. You got well-known actors in the industry in this film. And in terms of Elliot Ness's character, I liked him. He was very good. You know, this time period, this is the reason why I don't watch much of these movies, is I'm not a fan of this type of time period.
Prohibition era.
Yeah, but I do love the cops and robbers thing. Like, I do love Public Enemies because I love that whole bad guy and good guy. And this gave it to you, the gangsters. I like that more than Mafia, like Godfather and all that. Not my type of cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I like this movie. I was like, this guy's good. I love it. He's very confident. He's very pure at heart, if you know what I mean. Like, he reminded me of like a Judge Dredd. Like, he was by the law. He was trying, but he had to break the rules. Sean Connery's character told him, you're going to have to break some rules if you want to get Al Capone in jail. But he was very by the book, a family guy, sticking to his guns. He's a treasury. He works at the treasury. And I liked it. I really liked him. I give him a 5. He was very enjoyable. And he was a great character to lead with the ensemble around him.
Wow. Awesome. Well, I hope everybody doesn't get mad at me, but I think he's just okay. But I'll tell you why. Number one, I'm not crazy about Kevin Costner, in general. I think I said this one time on a show. I think I said this on our last live show. I like some of his movies, but I rarely ever like really love Kevin Costner in them. You know what I mean? Like, usually he's surrounded by people who I like, or the story's really good, or his performances are always the same. He delivers his lines the same all the time. And his performance in this, to me, Sean Connery is way better than him in this movie. I wish he was the main star. Like, I love his dialogue. I love the when he's talking with the guy in the alley and they get in a fight. Like, that whole scene is so good. It's intense. He has intensity. He has he just has what Elliot Ness doesn't have in this movie, in my opinion. So while I agree, I don't disagree with anything you said. He is the more kind of the pure-hearted, by the book, good guy character, which is fine. It works for the story. I just think the performance was kind of bland. The performance takes away a little bit from me. It's not so much the character. I should adjust what I'm saying. I don't think Elliot Ness is a boring character. I think Kevin Costner is a boring actor, in my opinion. So Elliot Ness as a character, I think he's good as far as like the being the leader of this group and kind of getting them all together. I like him. I'm going to change my score because I let my Kevin Costner sway me. I had it at a 3. I'm going to give him a 4 because I think the character's good. We got to try to make sure we stick to the character, not so much the actor.
Yeah.
But if the actor's really terrible, it might minus it. He's not terrible, but to me, he's just kind of bland. Like, I'm just not a big Kevin Costner fan. So right. I'm going to give Elliot Ness a 4 as a character. I'm going to give Kevin Costner a 2 as an actor. But yeah, I like him. He's fine, but I wish we had more time with Sean Connery's character. Okay, main villain, Al Capone, played by Robert De Niro.
Okay, so Robert De Niro as Al Capone, to be honest with you, he wasn't in as many scenes. He got the ending scene, then you got the middle scene when they kill, what's his name? They kill the guy with the glasses, the accountant, their friend.
Yep.
Jack,
the elevator.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he got killed and he goes up to the hotel. And then a little bit in the beginning, he started the movie with Al Capone when he's getting all cleaned up and prepped. He gives a speech. Honestly, there's not much. But I'm going to give it to him as a presence because when Robert De Niro's on the screen, his presence is there. And he does, again, I don't know Al Capone. I didn't live through that era, so I really don't know what he sounds like. And it's kind of hard when you do based on true story characters. We really don't know how they sound. So honestly, yeah. I don't care for that. I put that to the side. It's just the actor that's portraying him, his presence like Al Capone. I will say absolutely doodly. This dude did. I was like, yes, he did. When he beat the guy with the bat.
That was the best. I love that scene.
I feel like, you know, that reminded me of like a scene that, mark my words, that we might see in a Batman movie with Penguin.
Oh.
Doesn't it look like a Penguin scene?
Yeah, especially when he's like, we're a team. He's talking about a team and the baseball team. And he just starts bashing that guy's head in. Amazing.
I feel like that's like a Penguin situation right there, right? Like didn't I tell you not to go after the bat? The new version of the Penguin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not to go after the bat and you go after the bat. But it's okay. And then he smacks him all over the place. But anyway, I gave him a 4. I think the presence on screen, Robert De Niro was very well. And I think the final, when they were face to face, when he tells them the same speech he told them in the hotel, I thought it worked very well. So I gave him a 4.
So this is a prime example, a perfect, perfect example of the difference between Kevin Costner and Robert De Niro. Kevin Costner, as I just said, he's you know, his character's well written and he's in it a lot, but he didn't make an impact to me. Robert De Niro's on screen for 15 minutes, maybe impact. You remember him, his personality, his acting is just, I mean, it's not a comparison as far as Kevin Costner acting versus Robert De Niro. Obviously, Robert De Niro, if not the best, one of the greatest actors of all time, period. So, you know, it's not surprising, but like you said, he's not in it a lot. He's not here for a long time, but he's here for a good time. Bashes a guy's head in, kills people, you know, he does his thing. And you're right. I don't know if that's how Al Capone was, but as far as a portrayal of a, you know, gangster from the, you know, Prohibition era, a great, great performance. I really liked him too. I gave him a 4. It would have been a 5 if he was in it a lot and really went head to head with them. But because he doesn't, it's a 4. He's still really good. Okay, action scenes. I'm interested to see how you feel about this.
Okay, so action, there was, I can't say plenty, but there was enough action for me to score. I guess that's the best way to say it for me. But it was good action. I don't know. It's, well, okay. Because it's not like I'm all over the place. It's not the type of action that we do in this show. We are straight action junkies.
Not
this
typical
movie is that era action. So I'm putting myself in that 1950s era of action. And I thought it gave you enough action for the story that is being told. I do like the action sequences in the train station. I thought that was a very good action sequence. It was very slow, very dramatic, but slow. Yeah. I do like the action sequence when they got the ledger from Canada with the horses and
the bridge scene. That. Yeah, that's like the biggest action scene of the movie.
I freaking love that. Him going to get the alcohol the first time, and it was like you could tell that Al Capone had people in the inside, so they raided Umbrella Factory or whatever. Yeah. I thought that worked. I enjoyed when Sean Connery was like, he goes, are you ready to get a raid? We're going to go raid. And he gave them shotguns and they went straight to the postal office.
Yes.
And he's like, you're going to war? We're going to war. And I was like, this is so awesome. Nate, I'm going to ask you something and you be really honest with me.
Okay.
Did this movie not remind you of Tombstone?
You know what? You know what?
Think about it.
I didn't put that together. When I was watching it, I didn't think about that. But now that you're saying it, it's not. This came out before Tombstone. So Tombstone was like, hey, let's make the Untouchables of the West.
Think about it, right?
It's kind of. Yeah. You're kind of right.
Yeah. Kevin Costner is a Wyatt Earp. Doc Holliday is Sean Connery, which he dies and they both die. One dies of a disease and the other one got shot up. Then you have Morton, which is his brother that got killed on the pool table, which is the guy with the glasses. Yeah. And then the older brother survives because he takes the body away.
Andy Garcia.
This is Andy Garcia. It's Tombstone.
And then the bad guys is a gang. And in this movie, it's a gang.
Yeah.
You're not far off.
It's Tombstone.
Off now that you're saying that.
No gangster movies.
Yeah.
But it's done right. And look, I honestly gave the action a 5. Because, and this is why, and I know when you score, you're going to go more in depth in. The reason why I gave it, because I even counted the death scenes. Because those are action sequences too. You know, they get shot up with Tommy guns. And I think the way that they get executed in those death scenes, oh, come on, man. The dude was undercover, locks the elevator. And it was over for my man with the accountant. I was like, dang, I felt so bad. I was like, oh, man, my man didn't have. He was so excited to shoot people. I was like, I love that character. He was so cute.
He was great. Was like, he was. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, man. And then Sean Connery got shot up with a Tommy gun. And I was like, son of a bitches.
He got shot so many times. Yeah, he didn't even die right away.
In the back.
Yeah, he got shot like 90 times and he still lived.
I loved it. Look, I gave it a 5, man. I think for the time period that we're in, the action sequence was the perfect seasoning for this movie.
Fair enough. All right, so here's my thing with the action scenes. You're right. I don't even consider The Untouchables an action film.
Yeah.
I consider it, you know, it was on the reason we're doing it is because when we set this up we set this up months and months ago. You know, I looked up top action movies and then you put in the decades and I kind of come through and I had to find the ones that weren't franchises. And this comes up. I think it's one of those movies that has like, you know, subcategories where it'll be like crime, thriller, slash action. It's one of those. There's not a lot of action. Here's what's cool about it though. Brian De Palma is such a good director stylistically. Yeah. That everything looks really cool. So while it's not like nonstop gunplay, when there is shootouts, it looks awesome. It's filmed really well. That last scene that you're talking about in the train station, that is like Hitchcock. And Brian De Palma really came from that. He's like a Hitchcock, I won't say a clone, but he's someone who really got a lot of his style from Hitchcock. Mm. So that seems like if Alfred Hitchcock made movies in the 80s, like that would be the kind of scene he would do. It sets everything up. You got the people coming. There's like no dialogue. There's the lady with the baby. The setup is perfect. It's like so perfection. Funny. He's helping her up. She's like, I got it. And he's helping her and he's keeping an eye out. And the other guys are coming in. Got the gun. He's checking the clock. The other things are like, it's just so well done. And not a lot is happening, but a lot is happening. And it sets up a slow motion shootout that it's suspenseful. Like you think this baby's going to get shot. You think the ladies, and every time the baby's about to get shot, a Navy guy like stands up and like ends up getting shot in the back. It's so funny. Yeah. They save the baby so many times. So yeah, it's expertly done. The scene on the bridge is awesome. I love it. I love when the guy with the glasses gets the shotgun and he just starts going nuts. He's like, Andy Garcia, he kills the most. Yeah, he blasts the most amount of people. He shoots the cars. He shoots the people hanging out the cars. Kevin Costner throws a grenade. I mean, there is action, but it's not a prototypical action movie.
Right.
So that being said, I agree with you. I think it's all executed well. It looks cool when it's there. There's a lot of blood. This is a, well, we'll get to it in the overall, but this is a weird movie. But yeah, I gave it a 4, but I think it is mostly because of the craftsmanship of the action scenes. Mm. The execution is perfect. Like, the camera work's great. The setups are great. The payoffs are great. But there's only like 2 like action scenes, really, you know? And then some little, oh, there's the fight with Sean Connery and the old guy in the alley. It reminded me of They Live, but a lot shorter, you know?
Do you consider when Elliot Ness opens up the match and sees that it was Sean Connery's address?
And he goes, the guy at the end?
And they start running and he throws him off the roof? You consider that?
Yeah, that's like, I mean, it is uh-huh. action, but it's pretty basic. You know, it's a foot chase and he's climbing a rope. It slows down a lot. He starts climbing down a rope.
It does.
It's like, okay, make a decision here. What are you doing here with this? You let this guy climb this whole rope. I do love that they show him land on the car. I'm a sucker for those falling shots where they show the impact. Those.
Yeah.
I love it. So yeah, it's really well done. So 4 for me, 5 for you. No complaints. Okay. Storyline.
This is a good storyline. I'm not going to, dude, you know what's nuts? Like, we're an action, like, we don't do much history based on true story. We do army movies when we have army month. We do westerns when some of the westerns are falling in that category of history, like the Tombstone is actually a real thing, but they dramatized it a bit because it's Hollywood. But
right,
that's the most you're going to get off this channel when it comes to like based on true. And I think when it comes to this, I got to say it's up there for me with We Are Soldiers, The Saving Private Ryan, because I saw it for the first time on this channel. When we did a review on the I like the storyline, man, and I'm a sucker for these type of stories because it's such a basic storyline. How do we get Al Capone in jail? And that's it. I don't have to think about nothing. We didn't have to live in that era to figure out what this movie. We know who Al Capone is. I don't know why he went to jail, but now I remember. Like, oh, okay, yeah, it was tax invasion. I bet this Hollywood version took it to the next level on how they really got the stuff. But I enjoyed the journey of the characters. And the characters were really what drove this story to where it was for me. Honestly, I think if it wasn't, I mean, I agree with you to Kevin Costner. I mean, can this story be told where we are now? I think so. We have good actors in this generation that could enhance this movie. And we have cinematographers that could even shoot this movie to be what it is now. But I think for the 80s, it works so well because they didn't have the technology we have. This is all practical. I think it's all practical, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. No CGI in this thing.
And I think it worked so much well in the storyline. It's such a... Like, I loved it. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the characters' dialogues was awesome. Kevin Costner and his wife with the kids. I love the scene that the bad guy is across the street and he's like, you leave your kids
home. The guy with the white.
Son of a bitch, you better not kill that little girl. I was really mad, bro. I was like, I hope he didn't kill that little girl. That was really tight. But I liked him. I was like, yo, you know what? That's a villain. He didn't do nothing. He just spoke. And I'm like, yo, my man Michael Jackson better chill because I was going to get tight because he looked just like Michael Jackson.
The white suit.
Yeah, with the white suit.
Moonwalker.
Smooth criminal.
Smooth criminal.
He's a smooth criminal. Yeah. But I thought, look, the landscape of the entire movie, is there a dead spot here and there? But the entire film is just, to be honest with you, the movie flows so like water in a river that I get lost track of time because I was so invested into the movie. I gave it a 5. Storyline's the 5. I'm sorry. It's a 5.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. Well said. I gave it a 5 as well. This is this movie's great. This movie's great. You know, we're doing an action podcast. And we scored the action appropriately, I think. But this movie, just as a movie, great. I love it. As far as 80s movies go, it's not a typical 80s movie.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not a cheesy 80s movie. This is like a filmmaker who's a very good director. It's very classy production. It doesn't have a lot of cheesy parts. It is good actors acting good, except Kevin Costner. He tries. I know I keep crapping on him, but he tries his best. But even Andy Garcia in his little role, I like better than Kevin Costner. I love Sean Connery, though. Sean Connery's amazing. I love the part where that guy comes to kill him and he has a knife And he starts calling them all those like racial slurs for Italian. I'm not going to repeat them. And then he's like, typical, bring a knife to a gunfight. And yeah. He comes after him. But then he gets blasted. He gets wrecked.
With a Tommy gun.
A Tommy gun. Yeah, but it was still awesome. You know, he's a tough guy. Old. I love a good old tough guy. We talked about this on Jason Bourne. Whenever there's like an older guy who you don't want to fight, even though they're 60, I like that. So yeah, storylines of 5. I think you said everything. Okay, overall.
Oh, man. This movie, I mean, I'm not going to hold this up because we pretty much said everything in every other category. I'm just going to bunch it all in one. This movie is a masterpiece of a gangster film. To me, I don't know what Nate's going to say, and I don't know what everyone else is going to think when they watch this review, but to me, it's one of those perfect gangster movies. To me, it's up there with the enchilance of, like I said, We Are Soldiers, Braveheart, Gladiator, in terms of those motion pictures that captured time periods, right?
Yeah,
that
you're
going, wow, this really captivated that time period of Al Capone or whatever. I mean, we could talk about if these guys really... No, if they did great. They didn't. But the point is the film entertaining enough for you to go, wow, this is a masterpiece? Or it's just a generic watchable crap that we say? I say this is a masterpiece. I think from the score... It's really good. From the time period, I think it felt very well. I love the suits. I love the cars, the classic Fords. I love the Tommy guns. I love shit with Tommy guns. I don't know why. They get stuck and you get your ass kicked. And it's like nothing you can do. And I loved it. And it reminded me of Dick Tracy. Like, I love Dick Tracy, right? I mean, we haven't reviewed it on the channel, but...
If Dick Tracy was real life.
Yeah, if Dick Tracy was real life. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Yeah. But look, with that said, I gave it a 5. I think this is a masterpiece, and I think it's the perfect of a movie. Is there dead spots, like I said? Maybe here or there. But to be honest with you, for me, overall, this is my overall, I give it a perfect. I think it's a great, perfect film of time period.
Hey, I love this movie too. Now, one thing I do want to point out, and this is pretty funny. Okay. I think it was Harrison who said it on one of our live shows. Shout out to Harrison, really old movies. He said the score doesn't match the movie. And when I was watching it, he's right to a point. Yeah. Most of the scenes, I think it does work. But there was one scene where they're raiding. They're like doing one of the raids and they all come up there and the guy's like, hey, you can't be here. What are you doing here? Hey, get out of here, man. Like, his acting is not that good. Yeah, but when they're going in there, the music does not match what is happening on screen. Yeah. It should be fast. It's like this big orchestral triumphant music. I'm like, this is not that kind of scene. That was weird. Other than that, I love the music in this movie. I think the score is awesome. I love the performances. I love the story. I love most of the performances. Kevin Costner, always, since the first time I watched it, hindered it a bit for me, but everyone else elevates it for the most part. Not quite a 10 for me. I'm barely under 4.5. This is a 4.5 out of 5. 9 out of 10. A 9 out of 10. A great, great film. Kevin Costner just... he's on screen so much that I'm like, I don't want to watch this guy. Why isn't he acting better? Do better. He just can't help himself. I don't know. But yeah, I the one scene I like him in a lot. He has a couple, but the one is when that guy comes to bribe him with the money.
And he calls the boys.
He's
thing.
Like, just stay out of here. You know, just see, here's the, and he throws the money at him. And it's like the only time he shows some kind of like fire a little bit. And I'm like, all right, there we go. And then he just goes back to his old kind of, he delivers his lines the same way every time. I don't know. He bothers me. So it's a 4.5 for me though. I do love this film. I can't wait to get the 4K and watch it in 3 years to see what it looks like. I'm sure it's going to look great. I watch it in HD. It looked really good. I'm sure this 4K is going to look great, and I'll watch it. Or if we do a director spotlight of Brian De Palma, then maybe I'll pop it in for that. But other than that, it will probably be 3 years before I watch it. But I love it. It's great. 4.5. Okay, what's your total point?
I give it a 24 out of 25. I think it's in the fantastic movie, and I will be getting this on Steelbook.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to get this. Day one buy for me, 4K. I love it. I gave it a 21.5 out of 25. I think it is... more as far as 80s movies go, it's one of my favorites, but I think I'm not the biggest 80s movie fan, and this doesn't feel like one, so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of why I think I tend to lean towards liking it more. But great film, Brian De Palma, great director. You know, 80s and 70s and 80s was great for him. You know, Carrie, Scarface, this, he was the man. So if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, check it out. Here's what we got coming up next week. We will be launching into a new franchise, of course, starting with the first Die Hard, starring Bruce Willis. I haven't seen Die Hard in a minute. I mean, people know our podcast called Action Movie Guys. They know we've seen it a lot of times. I've seen it a lot of times. I haven't seen it in a little while.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. And then, you know what we're doing? You know where we're going? This is the river of time. We're going up the river and we're getting a little more modern. We're going into the 90s. Now, Alex, next week's a very good week, if you ask me, because not only are we reviewing Die Hard as our first review, but our second review for that week is John Woo classic Face Off, starring John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. I mean, I don't think it gets more action movie guys than Face Off.
That's
as
true.
Far as a movie.
That's
that
true.
Is, it is nothing but an action movie. There That's is true. No other slashes. It's
that
just
true.
Action. So I'm very much looking forward to getting to these 90s. 90s is my favorite. So I can't wait to watch these movies again. Yeah, so that's what we got coming up.
All right, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, and you want to check out the video versions of the podcast, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks. Or if you guys want to take us on the go, then go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, search for Action Movie Guys on any of the podcast providers. Other than that, that's your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out. And are you ready? Ready for the big time, baby?